A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T. Welcome to PQRSD episode the 8th, and gave Stitch the day off, and instead did my best Ray Romano impression for the opening, and why I did that will be clear a little later. How is everybody doing? Oh, that's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that. Sorry about the goiter. We'll keep our fingers crossed for everything to work out well there. I don't know. I did not. Mr. WC did not get a lot of sleep last night. He had his first baby training class. Apparently only. I had baby boot camp last night for 3 hours and drove home with a lot to think about, because 8 to 10 weeks from now, I will be recording these podcasts with a baby in my arms instead of a cat, and so the cat will probably be a little perturbed about that. But in all seriousness, it was a lot of information. I got to change a diaper for the very first time. There was a veteran dad there with 4-month-old Crosby. And I'm not going to make the obvious where we're still Nash and Young joke, because, you know, it's just too easy. But I got to change little Crosby's diaper. And it wasn't a dirty diaper, so I haven't had the real experience yet. But at least I've gotten hands-on one time, and I will have many, many, many more experiences every 10 to 12 minutes, I think, here, starting in about 8 weeks. But those of you that have asked, my wife is doing great. She was able to sleep last night, and I'm thankful for that, if only one of us could. But anyway, despite taking melatonin, just sleep eluded me. And so I may be a bit more rambly than usual today. And since I'm a bit rambly anyway, who knows where this podcast will go. However, it works out that a majority of today's podcast has been pre-recorded, and you'll find out more about that in a bit. First, a rant. I haven't gotten to rant about anything in a while, but I want to rant about this. I've been saving it. So I have a fence around my backyard, as I imagine most of you also do. And probably about 6 or 7 years ago, the fence post was replaced, as it turned out. But the one that was replaced, fence post, you know, the world erodes, things wear down, it's the circle of life. And so this fence post was leaning outward, and I didn't want it hitting my car, and I also did not like having to bungee cord the gate shut so the dog didn't get out, so I called some fencing companies. Nobody ever picked up, so I left messages, and here's the first part of the rant. The three companies I called and left messages for that could not be bothered to call me back, thanks. Maybe they get hundreds of calls every day. And I imagine, benefit of the doubt, that my I need one fence post replaced is probably not a huge priority. But how do you operate a business in this world of Yelp and Google reviews and so forth, you know, on social media? How do you operate a successful business if you can't even do the courtesy of returning people's phone calls? I will say, as a life hack, one of the things I learned, one of the companies that did not call me back, I remembered their name, and so after a week of them not calling me back, I left a 1-star review on Google. And much to my surprise, about 37 minutes after I left that review, this company was calling me. The owner called me directly, even though it was like 8:30 in the evening, just to see what they could do for me. So if you've hired a contractor and they've disappeared, try leaving a 1-star review. And I deleted that review after they called. The situation had already been taken care of, and I don't want to be that guy. But companies that don't return phone calls, I'm ranting about you right now. Don't treat people like that. If you're too big to be bothered with stuff like that, maybe you should put that somewhere in your advertising. That, hey, if your job isn't this big, don't bother calling us. Anyway, the real rant is the one guy that did call back. Blanks Fencing, or honestly, I'd like to say Blankety Blanks Fencing. I'm not going to use their name, but it's the name of a person followed by apostrophe S, Fencing. And if you look around on Google in Denver at fencing companies, you'll probably find my 1-star review. Because this guy called back, and agreed to replace my fence post, and we came up with a price, and he said he would show up at noon on Saturday. And today is Friday. As of tomorrow, he is 9 weeks late. Pretty sure he's not actually going to show up. And that Saturday, 9 weeks ago tomorrow, I was supposed to meet a friend, and we arranged for the friend to come over to my house at 11 so that I wouldn't have to leave, and he brought his one-year-old daughter. It was an inconvenience to him, but he's a great guy. By the way, quick change, I don't like the phrase shout-out. It's just starting to grate. So instead, I'm doing something new. When I drop a name, I'll say name drop. Boom! Because it's more fun for me. So name drop. Boom! Chris Saxon, a great friend of mine, and his daughter Abigail were willing to adjust their schedules and come to me. And we hung out. And then they left and I waited for Blankety Blank's fencing to show up for his noon appointment. And I spent all afternoon waiting. This was a lovely Saturday afternoon. There were plenty of things that I could have spent the day doing, but instead, I spent the day going no further from my living room than what it would take for a couple steps to go and check to see if anyone was in the driveway, because I was ready to corral the dog, who loves licking people to death, and I didn't want him to treat Blankety Blank's fencing that way, so I had a dog gate set up to keep him quiet. I was all prepared, and I spent all afternoon waiting for Blankety Blank's fencing to show up. And bad enough for the three companies that couldn't be bothered calling me back, but the guy that calls and sets up an appointment and cannot respect me enough to even tell me that he's not going to come, and who can't be bothered answering the phone 2 hours late when I call him to figure out what the heck is going on. Like I say, tomorrow he's 9 weeks late. I still have had absolutely no contact from him. I left a 1-star review on Google, which had previously 2 5-star reviews. So apparently he does great work if you have a big enough project. But if you're just a little guy like me, he might set up an appointment and then just totally screw you over. I should have gone to Yelp, because of the 11 Yelp reviews, one is 5-star and the rest are down at 1 to 2 stars, like me. Anyway, God bless you, Blankety Blank's Fencing. I'm glad to hear. I'm assuming that you have so many big projects that you can treat little people like they don't matter. We really appreciate it. So that was the rant, and I feel a little better. I didn't use their name, so nobody should have to sue me for slander. And we're going to move on, because some fun stuff to talk about. Last week, of course, fantastic Tamara Hayden was on. The week before that, the very vivacious Emily Coates was on. The week before that, Halloween week, I actually got to be on a radio blog show. What is a radio blog show, you might ask? And you might be right in not having heard of such a thing. Let me first make just some random noises that are entertaining. I'm trying to find a way to dive into the subject. I am a member of the Christian Comedians Association on Facebook, and a lot of great comics out there, and some comics that are very encouraging, that have some experience, that have some things going on, and are willing to share that experience. So after the October 7th show, when I had a video more or less ready, I contacted a dozen of these comics and said, listen, if you wouldn't mind, I would love some feedback. If you don't have time, it's cool. And a couple of them said, listen, I don't have time. In one case, it was someone who is paid to do coaching, and they really didn't want to do it for free, and I completely understand that. I'm not a big fan of doing videos for free, except in such times when God says, hey, this one, do it for free. But anyway, workman's worthy of his hire, and somebody that gets paid to coach, I can understand them not wanting to give me free advice. But there were some comics that that were just willing to, sure, watch a few minutes. Some watched the whole hour and give me feedback, which was fantastic. One of the comics that I sent to is named John Peters. And John Peters and I have had contact before. He has a weekly show that's a blog that goes out live on the interwebs. And he occasionally will play music on his show. And because I record comedic music, I've sent him a couple tracks in the past that he's used on his show. Well, when I sent to him, he was just someone I thought, you know, might be able to give me some feedback. I really hadn't thought about the radio show. But as well as giving me feedback, he also said, hey, why don't you be a guest on the show that we put on each week? He and Carl Peters, going by Ed the Med. And I had not thought about that. It was not something I was pushing for, but was like, wow, yes, please. More about this next week. I've got a long thing I want to say next week, but it's a nutshell of how I'm operating right now. Rather than trying to push and struggle and strive and make room for myself, I'm trying to get better at what I do in the hopes that the gift will, that rather than me pushing myself forward, that people will, as they come to know what I do, they will find opportunities for me. I'm going to talk about this next week. I don't want to get into it now, but that I want to do the best I can with what I have, and I figure the more I do that, the more opportunities will present themselves, rather than putting all my focus in where can I, what doors can I kick in, what doors can I hammer on, and, you know, force my way into opportunities. There are comics that are very good at self-promoting, again, for the third time, more on this next week, but I want to make what I do the star, not my ability to promote myself. Hopefully that makes some sense. I think it makes sense even to me. But I say all that to say that I was excited when John Peters Carl Graham invited me to be a guest on their show. And I got to call in on the 29th of October. So it's been a couple of weeks now. And I'm going to play that show for you. Not the whole entire show, just the parts that involve me. But it was interesting to set this all up. I was not listening to the show as I called in. I had an opportunity downtown to check out the live recording of Anthony Crawford's podcast, Talkin' Shop, which I cannot say enough good stuff about. As soon as you're done listening to this, go check out that. His podcast is fantastic. And he actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to comedy, and so do his guests. And so if you've been getting anything from this, then you will get tons from that. And I was like, go downtown and see it live and hear Deacon Gray, the talent coordinator for Comedy Works New Talent Night, talk about stuff, anything, whatever. I was really on board. And so I was driving down to find a place to park. And then as soon as I found a place to park, it was time for me to call into the show. And so when John played clips from the October 7th show that I had sent him a link to, I had no idea what clips he had played, which is why I sound like maybe I don't know what he's talking about a little bit. So, and to listen to the show, finally, which I did just this morning, of course I knew the parts where I had been talking and he had been responding, but I didn't know what had come before. It was interesting, and hopefully will be interesting for you, to hear the clips that he chose. He had 53 minutes of my comedy, and I have no problem with the clips that he chose. It's just interesting for someone who was objective and not involved with the project to take 53 minutes and distill it to about, I don't know, 2.5, what he chose. One of the clips he chose involves kind of a visual joke, but apparently it works well enough, or at least he felt it worked well enough, to transfer to the auditory medium. That's like, hey, this is just going to be an audio version of this, but it still works. And that's good. That's encouraging to hear. So I'm rambling again. it was interesting to hear what clips he chose. And if after hearing the clips you're like, wow, I want to hear more of this whole show, and you haven't seen it yet, well, you can go to WC The Comedian on YouTube, and it should be the very first video at the top of that list, WC at the Lakewood Cultural Center. But enough about the radio interview. You want to hear, hopefully you're still listening, I'm glad, you want to hear the actual radio interview. And so, without much in the way of further ado, besides me saying ado, 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 yeah, I'm tired, here is me on live radio.
Ed, I'd like to play a short clip by WC the Comedian. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
All right, let's let this rip. WC the Comedian.
All right. Well, your headliner is coming. He's a hilarious dude. You're going to love him. He's a cat.
who needs no introduction, so I'm not going to give him one. Everybody, WC!
When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood, I got in one little fight. My mom's got scared. She said, yes, she did. Give yourselves a round of applause. I don't have a joke for that. I just wanted to see if I could make you do my bidding. And you were excellent, so thank you for that. But Batman has one thing that Superman does not, and that's the coolest belt in the history of, well, ever. The utility belt. Batman can get in any kind of trouble and pull whatever he needs from this special belt. Batman, we're trapped! Oh, if only you had a flashlight, a gas mask, and some thermite. Here. Batman, we're trapped! Oh, if only you had a hot dog, a hubcap, and a lava lamp. Here. Batman, we're trapped! Oh, if only you had an original cast recording of Brigadoon. Cassette or CD? If I was Superman, I would use my super speed and super strength to move the invisible plane about 20 feet when Wonder Woman was busy, you know, blocking bullets. Just for the look on her face when we're all done fighting crime and she goes to nonchalantly lean up again. Superman, I've warned you about this. We do not use heat ray vision on the cat. But the highlight of Annie's career and the close of tonight's show came during the trial of dangerous Daniel McGowan. And by all accounts, it was Annie's closing argument that put that mobster away for good. And I've gone to great lengths, I've done research, so I can present to you that closing argument in its entirety. One more time to close out this fantastic evening, Annie Warbuck, Chicago DA. They're gonna convict tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow you'll get hung. Just thinking about tomorrow makes me so glad I'm the one to tell you that you're done. This city should be safe from your oppression. So they appointed me to be DA. Oh, they're gonna convict tomorrow. It'll be unanimous tomorrow. Come what may, tomorrow, you scumbag, tomorrow, they're gonna put you away.
There you go, WC the comedian. That was awesome, wasn't it? Hello, welcome to the John and Ed Comedy Show. Who's this?
Well, thank you for having me. This is WC.
WC, thank you so much for calling in to the John and Ed Comedy Show. Did you enjoy hearing your own clip?
I was driving downtown. I'm going to attend a podcast recording tonight, so I had not heard anything until just now when I called in. But
okay,
which clip did you use?
I used a hybrid. The clips that you said, so there's there's no continuity, but just some of your fun jokes. I love the Batman joke. you know, that is really good. I'll tell you, my favorite one of the clip was the Wonder Woman joke about Superman moving her invisible plane. and because I'm a superhero fan, and I've written some superhero jokes. So I appreciated that. Yeah.
Well, it's funny which jokes will hit with which audiences. And I love the one about moving her plane, and it's hit or miss. I have some jokes that I'm pretty sure will hit with everybody, but that one, I keep it in there because I love it.
And
it's a fun physical thing to do. But, sometimes it plays and sometimes not so much. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. That was really why I wrote it, was to get you.
There you go. I think the reason it worked for me is because you hesitated just enough for me to visualize her leaning back, thinking the invisible plane is behind her, and it's not. You know, it was that pause that was really masterful.
Well, thank you. I've really been working on my timing a lot lately.
Okay.
A year ago, kind of realized not only was I still using way too many words, but I was just talking too fast. Every time I watched a recording of myself, I would speak too fast, and then I wouldn't give the audience time enough to get the joke. And so I'd start the next joke real quick, and you're basically teaching them not to laugh, which is
nice. Right. Yeah. Yeah, so. Well, Ed, say hi to WC. Ed the Med, my co-host, is on.
Hi, WC.
Hi, Ed the Med.
Wow, that was
what do you miss, WC? What do you live, WC?
What did I miss?
No, where do you live?
Where do I live? I'm sorry, I live in Denver. And I'm very fortunate to live in Denver because we have a heck of a comedy scene out here. Yeah. Great scene out here. There are open mics. You can do several open mics every night of the week, except Saturday for some reason.
Wow.
There are showcases all over the place, lots of opportunities, including two different clubs that will let comics come in and just kind of hang out in the back if a club show's not sold out and learn more about comedy.
Wow.
So, it is a good time to be in comedy in Denver.
Nice.
So Rocky Mountain High has a new meaning now.
Yes, it does.
And it's not just smoking pot. It's not just pot.
You almost have to have pot jokes. I think it's by law, if you're going to do stand-up comedy in town, you have to have at least 2 minutes on marijuana.
Okay.
I could do that, no problem.
Yeah. Hey, can I give you a pot joke?
Can you? Absolutely.
Yeah. This is from my wife. And this really happened. I said, honey, what's your opinion about them legalizing marijuana?
Yeah.
And the punchline is, I can't remember the joke.
What's your favorite position? What's your position on the pot?
Oh, yeah. What's your position on legalizing marijuana or on pot?
Oh,
yeah, I said, yeah, what's your position on pot? And she said, seat down. Yeah. Thank you, Ed.
I honestly don't think I've heard that one.
Well, my wife came up with it. And, you know, I've got a lousy memory. I can't remember my own jokes. That's pathetic. The host forgets his own jokes, man. Man, that's like... That was a cow.
Wow.
So, WC, tell us more about your comedy journey, how you got into it, where you're at.
Well, I was just going to do stand-up once, and that was it. And tell people, yeah, I did it one time. And I have mad respect for anybody that does it even once. It's one of those things, like bungee jumping, only worse, I think, because you got more people watching you. And nobody ever heckles a bungee jumper, I don't think. But I got into improv, just a random chance. God had me meet somebody who knew somebody, and the conversation turned to improv. And they had a class on Monday nights, and so I showed up for that. And then after a couple years of that, I managed to get onto a team at a theater here in town, an improv team. After a couple of years of improv, I had been writing jokes, stand-up jokes, just for the fun of it, and thought, shoot, why not? And there was an open mic that was mainly for musicians at a coffee shop near me. And I had done music there a couple times and thought, you know, this is a great crowd. They're nice. They're friendly. I could do stand-up. Nobody would mind. And I had such a great time that first time that I got hooked. Like, I need to keep doing this.
Nice.
And, yeah, I had no idea what I was doing, of course. I think probably everybody can say that when they start out.
Right.
And I had a 15-minute set ready my first time. And I was nervous enough. I got through it in about 11 and a half minutes. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of comics since that there's guys that have been doing this 5, 6, 7 years and haven't done a 15-minute set. So apparently that was not common to jump right in that way. But you know, I had no idea that 2 to 3 minutes was more normal. So,
right. That's cool because you didn't know the rules, so you just went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
I also, there were open mics around, and at the time I tried to find them, and we have a great resource out here in Denver. There's a website, 5280.com or 5280comedy.com, that lists all the open mics, and you can see what's going on, where, a lot of information. And if that existed 3 years ago, I didn't know where it was. I didn't know about it. And so I tried and failed to find other opportunities, and so it's like, all right, I'll just put a show together.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another coffee shop that now has the music open mic where I got started, has moved over to this one. It's a Solid Grounds coffee shop, and I got to do Grounds and Giggles there twice. And Dan McGowan, who is a Christian comic and has been just a fantastic influence on me, I met him through a TV job that I had years ago.
Okay.
And when I started doing comedy, I was like, hey, I know this guy. I have, you know, we're Facebook friends. Maybe we can, he can answer some of my questions. And he's been great with helping me with answering questions. When he was still here in Denver, he put his weight behind the coffee shop show. And that was why we got to do it the two times. And after that experience, I pitched the idea of doing a monthly show at the theater where I've been doing improv. And they do improv every night of the week. They don't do stand-up, but I had a relationship there, and I think the fact that Dan McGowan was on board helped push it a little further. And so for 2 years, we ran a show once a month at the Bovine Metropolis Theater. And, you know, I've been doing comedy for about a year, and I have this show that's running once a month. And as I look back, it's like I had no idea what I had put together, you know. I could have leveraged that experience. Not that I necessarily would have, but I could have more than I did, because it was just, you know, we got the show and we invite people to come on if they'll work clean. And a lot of comics got a chance to do comedy for almost the first time, some of them, or very early on, at a location where the audience was giving. They wouldn't laugh for no reason, but they're also not going to heckle you. They're not going to be drunk. And if you're doing clean comedy, it's nice, I think, to have an audience that is willing to kind of go with you if you're new at doing clean comedy.
Right, right.
I've tried a couple bars, and I have a lot of respect for guys that can make bar crowds laugh. I'm still figuring out how that's done.
Right.
And if I had started off doing bars, I probably would have quit pretty quickly.
Yeah, okay.
It's not easy.
I think it has something to do with buying drinks for the house. That usually makes them laugh.
They love you if you do that.
I guess. What would I know? I don't go to bars. Ed, you got any questions for WC?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, how many years?
I've satisfied all the questions. Fantastic. Say again.
How many years you've been in comedy?
If you include improv, it's coming up on about a decade. But just stand up, I have 3 of the last 4 years.
Good.
I have been. So I'm just totally established as a comic. I'm an expert, really. Kind of have this scene out here by the tail. No, I've come far enough to learn that I know nothing.
Yeah.
And am looking forward to, I listen to anybody that I can find, especially those that, you know, 7, 10, 15 years, because I really don't know much. Just enough to know that I don't know anything, which that is a step, I think, in the process. I feel like when you start anything, there's this burst of immediate knowledge, maybe, and success, and you might think, oh, I'm really getting somewhere, and then you settle in after a couple of years and go, yeah, maybe not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm at the maybe not so much stage, but it's an exciting stage. I'm still at a place where comedy's fun. It's not work.
Right.
Well, it's work, but it's not just work, and I don't look at it like a job. I'm still enjoying the passion of it.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, it's amazing if you could do anything 3 years to 4 years. You're pretty serious about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I definitely have a passion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a passing phase. It's something, at least my experience, is it gets under your skin and stays there.
Yeah. I ride a motorcycle, too, and I've heard it described that, you know, you take one ride's too many, and 1,000 is never enough. And comedy's been the same way. One trip up to that stage to make people laugh was too many, and 1,000's not going to be enough, so I'm nowhere near that many at this point.
Well, it's good in Denver to ride motorcycles. I don't recommend riding motorcycles in Lancaster County. There's too many horses, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you would not come off well a motorcycle versus horse. We have deer out here, but and that doesn't come off well either, but it's rare you hit a horse in Denver.
All right. WC, hold on a second. We do have a call. Let's take this.
Absolutely.
Hello, area code 415. Welcome to the John and Ed Comedy Show.
Oh, hi. This is Chris in San Francisco. How are you?
Chris, bless your heart, brother. How's it going in San Francisco?
It's going just wonderful.
Good, good. You got a question for WC?
Yeah, I do. Can you please talk a little bit about your musical background and how that's helped you in the comedy world? And I'll hang up to hear your answer. Okay, thank you.
Hey, hello to San Francisco. Yeah, I'm back on, right?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. That's a fun question. I started taking piano lessons in first grade, and my mom has said many times that she kept saying, oh, just practice one more month, just one more month, and I ended up taking lessons for almost 10 years. And also grew up in a family we sang a lot. And so it was natural. By the time I was 15, I was performing on the church worship team every week. And that might be part of why I don't have stage fright. There's always the fear that maybe my stuff won't be funny to this audience, but I don't get nervous getting on stage. And being on stage weekly for well over half my life might be part of that. But played piano, I do recitals, did some stuff in high school, and then just kind of didn't do anything for about 10 years besides praise and worship. And then I realized one day, it's like, hey, it'd be fun to play Claire de Lune. It'd be fun to play the, you know, Linus and Lucy from the Peanuts milieu. And so I picked piano up again. And then when I started doing comedy, I write parody songs kind of because I have to. It's a bit of a sickness, really. I listen to a song on the radio or off somebody's album, and I like it. And then my brain starts throwing new lyrics in, and I can't make it not do that. Mm. But it was a natural fit, since I was going to do comedy at an open mic, and I thought I needed, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. I thought, well, I'll start and end with a parody song. And I started with Subway. I should go to Subway. It's a Beatles song. We can work it out. I changed it to I need to work out. And then I closed with The Sounds of Cyrus, making fun of Miley Cyrus, taking that from Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, cool.
And cool. So right there I had half the set, because I knew I could play the songs, I could sing the songs, and then I just had to write jokes in between. And I learned, and it's been confirmed many times over the past couple of years, parody songs almost always hit. Something about people hearing a song they know, but with different lyrics, that they really tune in, they really seem to get a kick out of it. So at this point, I've got 30 or 40 fully written parody songs, and probably another 50 or 60 ideas that I just haven't sat down and written out. So, like I say, I can hardly stop doing it. The nice thing now is that when it hits me, I can write it down and move on, instead of chewing on it for the next couple of hours.
Wow.
Rush, I could go to Denver and hang out with you. I got a lot of a book of parodies waiting to be turned into songs.
Yeah, oh, that would be a fun writing session. I would love that.
I got several Christmas parodies.
Yeah. You know, Christmas carols kind of lend themselves to, you know, you poke general fun at it. You have fun with it. But the show we just did, the theater show in October 7th, so it was a couple weeks ago, I kicked off with a song on the piano, and then I went back to it a third of the way through, and back again halfway through. Just something, you know, fun for the audience. And on the off chance that the superhero jokes just weren't working, I had a bailout. It's like, okay, I'm starting to lose you, so let's go back to the piano. And fortunately, that wasn't necessary. But I figure if I can add a talent to the stand-up, why not? I've seen guys tell jokes while juggling, you know, while hypnotizing people. There's a lot of ways to use talents to augment the stand-up, and I can do music. Right. So
nice, nice. I've often thought of doing that, combining my stand-up with making fart noises under my armpits.
If you can make it work.
I haven't done it yet, but I have thought in that direction. But
I was reading Uncle John's Bathroom Reader had a whole long story about a guy, I don't know, 100 years ago, who would perform nightly at the Moulin Rouge in France. He could fart on command, and that was his gig. he could do it different ways. He could, you know, he just made the most out of it, but that was the one thing he could do. And because he could do it, he drew, you know, standing room only crowds for years. So, you know, if it's working for the audience, and make those fart noises with your arms. Absolutely.
Wow. Amazing. Knock
My wife
over.
Won't let me do that, so I'll stick to the piano. But
talk about killer comedy. Yeah.
Nice. First three rows, you will get a home.
No standing ovations, first three rows, right?
Oh.
All right, hey, answer me this. Have you ever gotten a standing ovation?
Probably not, since I couldn't come up with one right off the top of my head. Okay. I've gotten pretty good responses, and October 7th. The thing is, immediately after telling the last joke, my mind starts going over the set and what I did right and what I did wrong and what I can improve, so
right.
Not completely 100% paying attention to how many people are applauding, but
right. Okay.
They did have fun October 7th, and I think some of them stood up. But also, okay. You know, you can't always see the audience to be able to tell.
Right, right.
Sometimes the lights are pretty low. But.
Well, I listened to the audio, and I think I did see the video, and the audience definitely sounded like they were enjoying the show, so I think you did really
they
well.
They were having fun.
Yeah.
Whatever the first thing was, I came out to introduce the show when the evening started. The first dumb thing I said, whatever it was, got a laugh. And in my head, I'm like, okay, we're going to have fun tonight.
There you go.
So we only filled about a third of the theater, but the third that showed up, they were plucky, and they wanted to have a good time.
Okay.
So.
Nice. And by the way, we have hosted Dan McGowan on the show.
Yeah, I have no doubt about it.
He is a funny. I like Dan a lot. I think he was in a couple of our Skype sessions too. So we had some good fellowship. Okay, now here's
a
question.
A lot for
here's
my family.
A question we normally ask. Tell us about your worst show you ever did. Whether you got heckled or messed up, or tell us the worst.
Yeah.
Give us the. The dirt,
the well, the worst in terms of what I gave the audience is one thing, and the worst in terms of what I got from the audience is another. The worst in terms of heckling, I a couple times tried an open mic at a bar here in Denver. We've talked about bars. Some comics can really make bars work. I have not yet figured out what they want, but this particular crowd, the way the host ran the show, they were kind of encouraged to heckle and to say things. And so I'm doing my superhero jokes, and I think I was doing the Wonder Woman set. And one lady who was very well along in terms of getting drunk was like, your jokes are too funny. No, that wasn't it. That's never a problem. Your jokes are too smart. We don't get them.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know how to dumb these down. I'm telling jokes about Wonder Woman, not, you know, the Higgs boson particle. So I kind of wrapped up that upstage. She came up and apologized later. She wanted to buy me a drink. She felt bad that she'd said that.
You should have gone into your string theory.
The worst set I ever threw at an audience was the second time I did comedy. I got really ambitious, I guess, and this shows that I didn't know what I was doing. I have a sketch that is the second time I did it. It was a year, maybe 2 years later. It got much better. The premise is a bunch of stand-up comedians auditioning for Hamlet. So what would Cosby do with the to-be-or-not-to-be speech? What would Hedberg do with the to-be-or-not-to-be speech? The thing was, I wrote down every comic I thought I could do an impression of, and so I had like 30 different examples, and the bit went on for about 15 minutes. And the worst thing I did was instead of saying, you know, I have the casting director calling out the next guy now, then I just said next and jumped into the whoever it was, so the audience had to figure out who I was doing, and then whether or not the joke was funny. And if it had been at a bar or a regular open mic, I think the best I would have gotten was Stony Silence. This was at the coffee shop again, and so people were polite about it. But I could tell, it's like, this is not landing at all. It's to not land for 15 minutes, you know, I know that's no record, and, you know, bombing for an hour is probably much worse. I've been doing this just for a couple of years, so I don't have any really bad horror stories. But it was a long time before I could watch that video, and even longer before I could try pitching that set at an audience again. But I tweaked it some, and it's actually one of my favorite things now.
Nice. So, WC, I got to tell you, I like you.
Well, thank you. I love when
the reason I like you, you remind me of myself. I am so overambitious and get these big plans of, you know, because I don't know any better, and why not?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's great. I think that's a real asset. Better you shoot big and fail than shoot little.
I agree with that. What I'm trying to do now is hang back and let God lead. because when I get out ahead of him, I tend to fall on my face, and I'm tired of doing that. But when he comes up with something big, I'm ready to jump.
That'll preach. That'll preach.
Yeah.
That's my experience, too. I've been doing this about three years? Oh, gosh. I think in December it'll be 3 years. And I read all the books. You know, I took a course. Audio call course, whatever. And, you know, you put yourself out there and you just figure, okay, well, I wrote my jokes, I got my set list, everybody should laugh. Well, it didn't quite go that way, all right? So,
It's my funny own, to me. Why isn't it funny to everyone?
What's that?
It's funny to me. Why wouldn't it be funny to everyone else?
Exactly. It's funny in my head. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
You know, and then you get angry at the audience. What are you guys? You know, you should be laughing at this.
An audience or an oil painting? Yeah, it's never the audience's fault. I have learned that. They may not be with you. You know, it may be a bad night. It may not be your fault. But getting angry at them, that never, never works.
Right. And I've listened to one of my favorite comedians, Greg Hahn. Have you ever heard of him?
I don't think so.
YouTube this guy, GREGHAHN. This guy is a physical comedian that I like. I watch the same routines over and over, and I cackle like you wouldn't believe. And he was being interviewed about when he first started, and he said, well, I started, and then he said, let the bombing begin. And you bomb for like 3 to 5 years. So I got lots of more years ahead of me to bomb.
Paul Reiser talks about the first time he got up to a comedy, he had a 4-minute set and he got 2 laughs when he was in college.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you know, I think I was lucky to get the response that I did.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I've learned enough now to know that's not common. That's not going to happen every time, and that's okay.
Yeah. So, open mics especially are notorious for people not paying attention.
Oh, they're no fun. Yeah, but it's still useful. It's weird, but throwing jokes in an audience that's not listening still gives me something that throwing it at my bathroom mirror does not.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I wish it didn't, because it'd be a lot easier not to go to the open mic. But when I got new stuff, I have to hit somebody, even if they aren't paying attention, because then I can hear it in a way that I can't hear any other way.
Right. Now, I have the benefit of being a pastor of a church, which is good for me, not so good for my congregation, because they have to put up with it.
Yeah, but they have to laugh, or else they get in trouble.
Well, they would, except they've been my congregation for years, so that courtesy is no longer there. They have withdrawn that grace. I remember one of our leaders, I do a monologue before church starts. Because I've learned you do not want to do comedy after the worship. That's not a good combination. And I was doing my opening monologue, and one of the leaders in the back yelled out, "Don't practice in church!" And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to get stoned by my own congregation.
You're getting heckled on your own pulpit. Wow.
Mm-hmm. First time I got heckled was by an Amish woman. Well, for comedy. I was in a barn, and an Amish woman heckled me and threw her child's shoe at me.
Seriously?
I am absolutely serious, yeah.
And this was in Holland, they would call that sabotage.
Yeah, well, this was a friend, too.
That's where the word comes from.
Oh, yeah? Are you serious?
Yeah, the Dutch workers threw their wooden shoes, their sabot, into the machines to stop them, and that's where we have the word sabotage. So she was literally sabotaging you.
Oh, how cool is that? Thank you. That's a good piece of it.
Yeah, see, you learned something.
Yeah. All right, well, tell us a little bit about where you're headed in comedy and in your career.
Well, that's, you know as much as I do, because the show that we put on October 7th, I've been working towards that for a year. That was God's idea. The Holy Spirit inspired that one. And since that show, he hasn't said what's next. I really believe he's got something in mind. But like I say, I'm trying to hang back, let him lead. He makes a better agent and manager than anybody else that's volunteered. So,
Amen.
Whatever God does, though, I'm excited for what's next.
Good. Good.
You know, I'll call in a year from now, maybe be able to tell you more.
Yeah, yeah. All right, good. But, are you traveling, or are you pretty much stay local?
My wife's about to have our first son here in about 12 weeks. So okay. I'm willing to travel, but I wouldn't want to go, say, on the road. Right. If anyone out there does comedy on a cruise ship or looking for comedians on a cruise ship, that is a dream for sure, although I may not be ready just yet. If there was a chance to travel, expenses were paid, and that wasn't away from home for long, would love to, but
yeah,
wouldn't want it to be a regular thing.
Yeah, yeah, you pretty much want to be there for your first born child.
Yeah, and that's why I said I've done comedy for 3 out of the past 4 years. When I got married 2 years ago, I took a year off just to make sure that my wife was my priority and not comedy, not my business. That I just needed to have things in the right order, you know?
Yeah, and that's very important. Have you seen the Shonda movie yet? Shonda Pierce's movie?
No, I hear good things, though.
Yeah, I think they're going to do another showing. Ed, this is for you, too, if you haven't seen it. I think it's going to come out again in November. I would recommend
it. Oh, cool.
I would recommend it because you learn some things about comedy, but also if you're a family man, it teaches you the importance of not putting your career over your family.
Yeah. And hopefully I don't have to learn that lesson. I can learn from others' mistakes on that one. But, yeah.
Right.
You got to have priorities.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, WC, thank you so much. We really enjoyed the comedy clip. We enjoyed the wisdom that you've shared. And sound like a great guy, a very likable guy. And that's important in comedy. You don't sound like a comedy jerk. And we've had a few of those.
I try hard not to be, but yeah, John and Ed, this has been a treat, and I'm glad you wanted to have me be part of things.
And that was the experience. It was a little surreal to be on the phone, sitting in my car, downtown Denver, talking to a couple guys who are in New York, and also simultaneously hearing someone call in from San Francisco. It's, you know, this modern technology, it's pretty amazing. It's nothing earth-shattering or groundbreaking, but it's the first time I've ever been involved in something like that, and it was pretty cool. It was a pleasant experience, and I'm glad I called in. Name drop, boom, thanks to Carl Graham and John Peters, as well as my house cat, who I'm sure you are listening to right now. She has been very needy lately. Thanks to Carl Graham and John Peters for having me on their show, and thanks to Chris, I believe it was, who called in from San Francisco. I mentioned on the show, they asked my worst performance, and I talk about the Hamlet sketch. The worst version of that, which I did record, is not on my YouTube page because I have shot it into space where it will never harm anyone again. But the remix, the retread, the second try at the Hamlet sketch is on my YouTube page. You can see it for yourself, WC on Hamlet, if you go to WC the Comedian. And while not all of that worked either, I think specifically the Jeff Dunham impression just doesn't play if you don't have an actual dummy on your hand. It came off a lot better, and I'm proud of how that went. So that's something you can check out if you would like. And I really think that's probably enough for today. I don't have anything else all that interesting to say, but there is a parody song a-coming. I will tell one story, and then I'll do the parody song, because way, way, way back weeks ago when I was talking about how I got into comedy, I mentioned working at the Lakewood Cultural Center doing sound, and I said, hey, remind me to tell this story, and none of you reminded me. At the end of the podcast came and went, and I never told the story, possibly because I wasn't recording it live, and you couldn't go back in time and tell me at the time I was recording it. But anyway, have you ever been really tired? Yeah, so you know how I feel, and I'm sure you'll give me some slack. The story I'm going to tell, because I have been reminding myself to tell it for like a month now, and I want to stop doing that. I was running sound at the Lakewood Cultural Center, and the show was Crazy for You, which starts off on a Broadway, in a Broadway theater, and then moves to a Wild West saloon, for reasons that are made clear through the script. Anyway, one page, I wish I'd made a photocopy of it, because it was just, as the audio guy,
three people came on stage and I had to get their mics up. Two people left stage and I had to get their mics down. There were several sound effects. There was, I think, a musical cue. I needed about five hands to get through those five lines. And it was the only page in the whole show that I lost sleep over. The rest of the show was just fairly simple. That one page every time. And so there were. I'm trying to remember to bring these two mics down, and then I'm trying to play a sound effect, and then I bring a mic up, and then I play another sound effect, and then I skip a sound effect because they changed something in the script. Well, so this guy is walking into a saloon on stage. He's coming into the saloon, and he's a gunslinger. And there's a sound effect of a gunshot, and I played that one. And there's a sound effect of breaking glass, and I played that one. And I was supposed to skip the next one to get his final gunshot, and I forgot to skip it. Fortunately, this was dress rehearsal, not an actual show. And this is where, you know, sometimes life is just funny. The sound effect that I did not skip was the sound of a cuckoo clock that was in the middle of the scene for some reason I don't even remember. So he fires, bang, there's breaking glass. Crash! He gets out his gun, he fires again. Cuckoo! Cuckoo! And the audience that was there for the dress rehearsal thought it was hilarious. The gunman who thought I had done it on purpose was gracious, and nobody ever checked to see if I had just screwed up, which I actually just had. I would not have done that to him on purpose. Although we did have fun at some of the shows. Crazy for You was one of the shows we had fun with. Oklahoma, we had fun with. The audio guy, before a show, you do sound check, which is tedious. You get everybody on stage, and one by one, you check everybody's microphone to make sure it's working. And if it's not, what do you have to do? Change the battery, change the antenna, figure this out. People kind of need to stay on stage, even though they got other things to do. So what I would try to do is have fun with it. Instead of just, okay, this actor, please say a couple lines from the show. Keep talking. Okay, great. Thank you. Next actor. I would say, hey, you want to do some lines from... I would actually pretend to be a radio DJ. Hey, welcome to KLCC, All Night Radio. And tonight for soundcheck, we're going to do the best love songs. Or, you know, your favorite childhood tune or something. And if somebody, you know, some actors didn't play along. And that's fine. Nobody has to play. And they would just do a couple lines and then go back to their trailers. But most people would have fun with it. When we did love songs, you know, there was someone saying, what's love got to do with it? Somebody sang the Laundry Day song from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which was fantastic. People had fun with it. And I was sad when we went to do The Sound of Music. That director was apparently did not have a sense of humor. And so the sound designer and engineer at LCC, Tim Hoffman, was like, listen, don't do the radio DJ with this guy. Just do the sound check straight, because this director would not appreciate it. And so we did it straight. And there were a couple people who had been in previous shows with me who also missed it like I did. I don't know why I told that story. Just because I'm telling LCC sound stories, and that's one of my favorites. Just... That was one time where we had fun together. And a lot of... There were more times than that. That's just one that I remember. Nobody got hurt. Nobody was made fun of. And that's the kind of comedy I like, where people can come together and everybody has fun. So I guess that's why I wanted to tell that story. I do have a parody for you in honor of the John Peters show that I got to be on. He has played, as I said some time ago, some of my parody songs on his show. And what I'm about to play, I recorded for that express purpose. I put it up on YouTube, but what I was hoping is that John would want it for the show. And he did. And he played it on his show, and I'm going to play it for you now.
Back in my Camry on I-95. to heal. He is no Kevin Spacey, but those arms like tree trunks of steel. As he can. If the road keeps on twisting, they can build on the lie that it's not the same movie again. And don't make no difference, he'll get them at the line. And we'll see shots of hot girls in tights. Try to forget how, when the first movie came out, those girls had training wheels on their bikes. 'Cause in the arms of Vin Diesel, find a place to heal. He is no Gary Oldman, but those arms like tree trunks of steel. He'll pull you civic you've rolled, and in the arms of an easel you will find box office gold.
So, with apologies to Sarah McLachlan and Vin Diesel, that is my take on Angel. I hope you're having a great day. I hope November is just a fantastic fall day for you. And I hope that in some ways that last sentence made sense in some language. I'm going to go now and take a nap. But while I do, please own your stage, whatever stage that happens to be. And I promise I will get more sleep before next week. Till then.